Good morning. It's a delight to be here and to worship with you this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask you would turn with me to Numbers chapter 6, or activate your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6. And we'll be looking at verses 22 through 27. Before we read and turn to God's Word, let us go to Him again in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly God, our Heavenly Father, the giver of life, the one who rules over all things, we thank you for your love. We thank you for how you bless and you provide and you take care of your people. Lord, I thank you that you are not a God who is silent, that you are not a God in a distant land, but that you are a God who speaks to us by His Word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts now, allowing the distractions of the past week, even of this morning, to be put aside, that we might focus our hearts and our ears upon your Word, that we might simply not be hearers, but that we would be doers of your Word. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. People of God, hear the living God's Word from Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." And God bless his Word. This is a familiar passage and a less familiar book. These are words that we can often hear at the end of a service where the minister puts his hands up in the air and he gives the people of God a blessing. And though these words might be very familiar with you, I wonder if you are anything like me and you wondered, why do we do this? What does this mean? Why does the minister put his hands up and bless the people like this? What is this benediction thing all about, and why do we end the service with it? We certainly all want to be blessed. If I were to talk to any of you, I'm sure you would say, I want to be blessed. I want to have God's favor in my life. I want to know He loves me. I want to know I'm blessed by Him. In fact, shamefully, maybe I might try to sneeze occasionally just to hear someone say, bless you. Because I want to be blessed. I want to know that I have God's favor and He loves me. But how do we find blessing? And how do we receive it? As we think about all the world around us, where's blessing to be found? We heard about these terrible shootings, this great evil in Colorado. Some of the things that many of you are facing in life, it's hard to think that there's even blessing to be found. But that's what I want us to consider this morning, is how are we blessed? We're going to look at three things, 3 points. So if you're taking notes, there's going to be 3 points. Where does blessing come from? What is the blessing? And how do we get it? How do we receive it? So that's where we're going. That's where we're going to be looking in this text. Where does this blessing come from? What is blessing? And then how do we get it? So the first point we consider as we look in this text and march through it is, where does blessing come from? And if you read the short text that we just looked at and you heard it, it's clear, it's obvious where blessing comes from. It comes from the Lord. The source of this blessing comes from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The Lord repeats that He is the one from whom all blessings flow. And in case you missed it, at the end of in verse 27, and somehow we missed that, He's the one that gives it. He says to Moses again, I myself, this emphatic me, I will bless my people. So here in this small text, why is there so much emphasis upon where blessing comes from? We get it, Lord. Why do you repeat it so many times? There's only a few verses here. Why is there so much emphasis about where blessing comes from? Well, it's because we tend to look for blessings in other places. In Jeremiah 2, verse 13, the Lord laments that that's our tendency to look for blessing in other places. Jeremiah reads, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." You see, instead of going to God, from whom all blessings flow, the fountain of living waters, we scratch around in stagnant, muddy pools of water. And for Israel, that meant looking to other gods, looking to other nations. For Israel scratching around in their muddy pools rather than looking for God, that meant that they would look to other countries like Egypt and Assyria to protect them rather than looking to the Lord. It meant that they would look and worship the idols of the other nations rather than worshiping the Lord. It meant that they would make a golden calf out of the plunder of Egypt and worship it. Well, like Israel, we too try to find blessings in all the wrong places. We have our own broken cisterns. We have our own muddy pits that we try to find blessing rather than finding it in the Lord. Some of us, some of you, maybe try to find blessings in possessions, trying to find significance in acquiring everything on your wish list, acquiring everything on your want list. And perhaps your list includes a beautiful house, a nice luxury car, fine clothes, or maybe the latest electronic device. And you think that if I had these things, I know that I would be blessed. If I could just get these things, I know that I would be blessed. Or perhaps maybe you seek blessing in your relationships. You really long for that wife or husband, or at least a better wife or husband. And you think that if I just had those things, if I had a husband that listened to me, if I had children that obeyed me, well, then I would know that I was really blessed. Or perhaps if you're like me, you look for blessing in respect, wanting your colleagues to admire you and think highly of you, wanting people to like who you are and to be your friends. And you think that if you have any of these things, you'll be truly blessed. And that's where you're seeking your blessing. You can actually discover where you're seeking your blessing by taking the time to carefully examine where you tend to get angry, where you tend to find yourself in despair. What keeps you up at night with anxiety and worry? You see, our strong emotions, the things that come out of our heart, tend to show us what we're really seeking in life, where we're really trying to put our blessing. And what we will find is that we've been seeking blessing in all the wrong places. For a true source of blessing only comes from the Lord. That's what our text tells us. The true source of any true blessing comes from the Lord Himself. There's really no blessing outside of God. Everything will pass and fade away, but true blessing only comes from the Lord. Alright, so we know that true blessing comes from the Lord, but when we've used this word a lot, blessing, what does it mean? How do I know if I'm blessed? How do I know if I'm not blessed? Well, let's look at what it actually means to be blessed. And so you can know if that is true or not. So secondly, how are we blessed? Because if possessions, or having wonderful relationships, or being respected by all is not what it means to be blessed, then what is it? How do I know if I'm blessed or not? Well, this priestly benediction gives us that understanding. Our text tells us the blessing is from the Lord. And if you look at it in this, it's kind of in three lines. The first line has the fewest syllables and the fewest words. And the second line has a little bit more syllables and a little bit more words. And the third line has more syllables and more words, climacting. That ultimate blessing means that people, that God will bless His people and give, they will find rest and peace as He delightfully looks upon them. Now let's break this down. So first, in the first line there, we see, the Lord bless you and keep you. Keeping here means to guard, to preserve. The God who rescued His people from slavery will not leave them. He will not let them go. He will keep them. He will guard and preserve. He will persevere His people to the end. As a father cares for his children, so God cares, protects, and keeps His children. And the Lord knows exactly what we need, and He always gives it to us in exactly the right measure at the right time. The Lord keeps us. He takes care of us. He provides for us, and He perseveres us. Second, we see in the second line, the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. True blessing is to know the face of God. True blessing is to know God face to face. The idea of having God's face shine upon us is a wonderful image. The idea of having God's face shine upon us is an amazing image. Have you ever seen anyone's face shine before? Have you ever seen anyone's face glow? Not because they just finished exercising, but because they were delighted. Because they were excited. Perhaps if you've been to any children's birthday party or Christmas, when they're opening up gifts, they open up the gifts, and immediately, their face glows, it shines with delight and thankfulness. Or perhaps if you've been walking in any parks recently, you'll see some young couples strolling around, holding hands, and they delightfully look upon each other's face, and their face shines towards one another with affection and delight. Well, this is the heart of blessing. To have the Lord, to have God Almighty, the one who created all things, delight in His people in such a way that we're told His face shines towards us. Our Heavenly Father's face beams on us. It beams upon you with delight. Can you imagine God doing that to you? That is, He delights in you so much that His face is shining. It's beaming to you. Because He loves you. He finds delight and pleasure in you. We long for that. Don't we long for that? To know that? To know that God delights in us, that our Father delights in us, and that He loves us? God's shining face towards His people means grace. That the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. When God's face shines to you, it means grace for you as well. God's shining face means salvation for you. When God's face shines, it means love and salvation for His people. And here's what I mean. If you look at Psalm 30, verse 3, we get that idea that whenever God's face shines towards His people, He gives them grace. He rescues and He saves them. Psalm 80, verse 3 says, "Restore us, O God. Cause Your face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved." The Lord's face shines toward you by graciously saving you, by graciously bringing you and calling you in. And then here in this third line, this climactic line, as it builds up, it says, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Lifted countenance literally means lifted face. To be before the face of God. Some of you are familiar with Isaiah chapter 6, known as the Holy God chapter. It's one of R.C. Sproul's favorite chapters, the Holiness of God book that R.C. Sproul is well known from is based a lot of Isaiah chapter 6. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 6, you'll remember how it's a picture of God's throne room, and there are angels flying around, and they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." And God is so holy that they can't even look at God and yet be destroyed, so their wings are covering their face because they can't see the holy, holy God and live. And yet this blessing that God gives His people calls for God's face to be before His people. But rather than death, they will have peace. They will have life. Peace before a holy, holy, holy God. God can only give you that peace. God offers salvation and peace to His people. So how do we receive this blessing? We want the blessing. We want God's face to shine upon us. We know we want Him to delight in us and love us. But how do we receive it? How do we get it? How do we have true blessing of all the things that are fading in this world? This is the true blessing that will last. And how do we get it? Well, the Lord gives it to His people freely, out of grace and mercy. I think often we think that we need to steal or manipulate or force a blessing from a reluctant grasp of God. We're not really sure He approves of us. We think of God as a cosmic candy machine. As we pull the right lever here and drop the claw down here, maybe we might receive a blessing. Or perhaps, if you're like me as well, you think that because of the sin of your heart and of your past, that you're only going to get the B plan of life. No A blessings for you. You only get the B or C or maybe D blessings at best, because you know that you've sinned, and somehow if you were a better person, that God would have really blessed you and really loved you, and maybe His face doesn't shine upon you like someone else who was really good. And we try to manipulate God to force these blessings from Him. We somehow think He's reluctant to give it to us. But as we see in this passage and in this text, how do we receive it? Well, God is the one who initiates the blessing. God is the one that gives it to His people. Aaron doesn't first come to the Lord and ask, "I'd like to bless this people, Lord. I'd like to do something nice for them. I'd like to bless them. How can I do it?" Moses doesn't come to the Lord and file a request and say, "I would like to bless the people, Lord." What we see is that God comes to Moses, and God comes to Aaron, and God says, "I want you to place My blessing on My people, and here is how you do it." There's no magic, there's no trickery, no manipulation. God initiates it because He wants to bless His people and give them peace. But what makes this so amazing, what makes this blessing so amazing and so wonderful that God would bless and give His people wonderful things, is that we don't deserve blessing at all. And if you look in the context here of Numbers, though Numbers 6 is a familiar text, Numbers as a book is a little bit less familiar to us. And if you're looking in the context here of Numbers, in the two chapters before this blessing, there are two whole lists of laws for two very different types of people. In Numbers 5, if you look at it, it records the laws that cover the test for a woman who was accused of unfaithfulness. And then number 6, actually right before our text, is the laws for a person who is to take a Nazarite vow. That is, someone who is to give their life for a particular time over to the Lord in a particular way to be devoted wholly to the Lord. So in these chapters, we see two completely opposite and different types of people. Two very opposite situations are presented. A faithless wife and someone who was to be completely devoted to the Lord. Now, which of these two people is more like Israel? The completely devoted person or the faithless wife? Israel was certainly supposed to be devoted to the Lord. The Nazarite was supposed to be a picture of who Israel was. A nation, a people devoted to the Lord. But we see Israel was often the unfaithful, faithless wife, going after other gods, complaining against the Lord, grumbling, rebelling, unfaithful, seeking other lovers. Which of these people is more like you? In the first point, we uncovered that we too look for other lovers. We look for other blessings apart from the Lord. Whether it be possessions, relationships, respect, place at work, we're really much more like the unfaithful wife. Like Israel. We're not the Nazarites at all. But God wants to put His blessing on us. God wants to bless you still, the faithless wife, because Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We have fallen short. We have been unfaithful. We have been seeking lovers and blessings, all that are not from the Lord. In fact, we don't deserve God's blessing at all. We deserve His curse. We deserve God's curse and not His blessing. But God is able to bless faithless people like us because He sent His Son who would be completely devoted to Him in our place. Jesus Christ, who would come and live a perfect life. He would be that true Nazarite, the person devoted to the Lord. Completely devoted to Him, who was separate from sin and kept God's law in every way. Jesus knew God's blessing. Jesus knew that God's face was shined upon Him. Jesus knew that the God, the Father, loved Him. In fact, we see that. At Jesus' baptism, the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And we hear those words again on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You see, Jesus knew the Father's face shined upon Him in delight. But when Jesus went to the cross, it was not simply the weight of that heavy cross He was carrying on His bruised and beaten back He was carrying. He was carrying the burden of your sin. He was carrying the burden of your unfaithfulness. He was carrying the burden of all the ways you have sinned by looking for other blessings in other places and not coming to Him and not looking to Him. And Christ was made sin who knew no sin. Jesus took the very wrath and curse of God that we deserved, that we might now be blessed. Jesus took the wrath and curse of God that we deserved, that we now might always be blessed. It was there on the cross that Jesus felt the curse of God. In fact, if you consider our text and you consider what happens at the cross, the cross is the very antithesis of this blessing. Did God the Father bless Jesus and keep Him when He was on the cross? No. He was handed over to the power of those who hated Him and wanted to kill Him. Did God the Father make His face shine upon Jesus on the cross? No. He poured out his wrath and crushing anger against sin upon him on the cross. Did God the Father turn his face toward Jesus on the cross and give him peace? No. In fact, we're told that God turned his face away from Jesus so that Jesus cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was no peace there. But because Jesus suffered the curse of God on the cross and paid for your sin and all the ways that you have sought blessing from other lovers, you will always be blessed. This is God's blessing. This is God's gift. His Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ, God will certainly bless and keep you. In Christ, God will most certainly make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. In Christ, God will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace, life, salvation in Christ. This blessing is not a maybe. This blessing is not an if, maybe God will do this. In Christ, these things are true. These are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. That this blessing is yours. But also take note that this is not a general blessing given to all people and to all nations. This blessing is for God's covenant people. So how do you receive this blessing? How do you receive this blessing? Faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He took on the curse of God for you, that you might be blessed, and that blessing is yours. Come to Christ and receive this blessing of life and peace. Repent of all the ways in which you have sought to gain blessing through other broken cisterns. Receive Christ today. Rest on Him. Love Him. Let me conclude by saying and reminding us that there is no other source of blessing apart from the Lord. Remember the Father's love towards you through Jesus Christ. The Lord knows our weakness. He knows that we so easily forget and we seek our blessings in wrong places. And so that is why God tells Aaron and Moses to repeat this blessing often. This is why we conclude every service with the benediction, with God's authoritative, trustworthy proclamation and promise of blessing to His people through faith in Jesus Christ. We must look to the cross again and again and marvel at God's wondrous love to save faithless people like us, to save sinful people like us. And the fulfillment of this blessing, of whether God will do this, does not rest in you, but it rests in Christ. And so by faith, receive it. Don't miss the end of the service. Be here and receive the blessing of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that it is You from whom all blessings flow. Lord, You are the giver of life and all things good. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for how we seek other things. We seek other things to find blessing and love. Material things. We even seek those relationships and we take what is good, Lord, and we make them idols and we no longer worship You. Lord, forgive us. Help our eyes to be fixed on You. Open our eyes that we might see how You have loved us and blessed us in Christ. Lord, we thank You for how You care for us. We thank You for Your blessing. We thank You that in Jesus that we have peace now and in it through all eternity. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.